All right, we're back on, so we can just.
Yeah, we can just do it. Yeah.
Okay. Sue, would you read the, let's see.
1024?
1024.
Accept bid of Stettler Supply Company, Inc. for the Portland Heights Pump Station Electric Work for $934,950.
What are we looking at here?
Director Moody.
Morning, Mayor and Council members. You have before you a procurement report recommending a contract award to Stettler Supply in the amount of $934,950. The city identified eight divisions of work for potential minority women and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities. Subcontracting participation on the project was 0% at bid time. After bid closing, my office worked with Stettler to perform additional outreach to MWSB firms in the areas of concrete cutting, excavation, and traffic control. After these additional efforts, Stettler was still unable to obtain any MWSB participation. I will turn this back over to Council if there are any questions regarding the bidding process, and representatives from the Water Bureau and Stettler Supply are here to answer any questions.
Questions from Council? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
I guess. Stettler is doing the construction? Or, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a construction contract.
So I see you list traffic control services, cleaning, grubbing of sites, and those, there were no subcontractors
available?
So,
yes, Commissioner.
Everybody working? Is that a good?
That was the answer back. So after they did perform good faith efforts during the bidding process, after that we asked them to go back and look for more concrete cutting, excavation, and traffic control.
Mm-hmm.
Did additional outreach, and the MWSB firms didn't quote. We followed up after that, and it was because they said they were too busy.
Okay.
So
it's a good sign. Thank you.
All right. I'll take a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Been moved and second to accept the procurement report contained in 1024. Sue, can you please call the vote on the motion?
Salzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz,
thank you for your additional efforts on the MW on the minority women and emerging small businesses. I think it does point to the fact that we need to continue to work on our standards in this regard. Aye.
Fish and Adams.
I think it's a on one hand it's a good sign. On the other hand, it shows we need work on availability, which was the purpose, is the purpose of the workforce PLA that can lead to more contractors from successful workers. Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for procurement report? Yeah.
Aye.
So noted. You please read the title for procurement report, item number 1025?
1025, accept guaranteed maximum price of $35 million from Hoffman Construction Company of Oregon for the construction of the Interstate Maintenance Facility Renovation Project.
What are we looking at here?
In May 2011, City Council authorized the use of a construction manager general contractor process for the Interstate Maintenance Facility Renovation Project. Through this process, an RFP was issued and seven responses were received. The responses were evaluated by a five-person selection committee in which city staff, representatives from the community, and a one minority evaluator participated. Hoffman Construction Company of Oregon was the highest scoring proposal. The city then entered into contract negotiations, and now you have before you the procurement report recommending a contract award for a guaranteed maximum price of $35 million. The city and Hoffman agreed to a community benefits agreement of which the model template was adopted by city council at last week's council meeting. With the CBA, Hoffman has committed to achieve 20% of the hard construction costs for MWDBE subcontracting and an 18% minority goal and a 9% women goal for apprenticeship and journey level workforce on this project. I will turn this over to Mike Sturr, Water Bureau Chief Engineer, to talk about some technical aspects of the project.
This project has
been around for a long time. I've worked for the Water Bureau since 2003. The project existed before that. And since 2003, it's been in and out of the budget several times for a variety of reasons. Many of you, I think, have been to the facility. The facility that we're trying to replace is a 1930s garage, 1925, I think. Was built then, has virtually no seismic reinforcement or anything in it, and it's been a long, well-used facility. Right now, it houses our construction and maintenance operation. It houses our stores operation. Both of these are critical to our ability to respond to emergencies and earthquakes. I remember when I began at the Water Bureau, I worked over there. I was the chief of construction and maintenance, and my office had a roof leak that migrated from somewhere in the roof and managed to come out right behind my desk. We kind of nursed it along because we couldn't stop it. The building is in terrible shape. A little bit more recent history. Prior to 2006, some activities were underway to maybe put a baseball stadium over there. So we didn't actively work
still
on the project
then. Still a good idea. I'm still willing to go there.
And I might respectfully disagree with that, Mr. Mayor. That was going on, and it involved the Portland Public Schools property and the Water Bureau property. In 2008, we put the project back in the budget, and we began our process, and some of this may help with what I'm sure are Commissioner Saltzman's questions on 1017, so I'll just kind of trip through the whole series here. In 2008, we did a selection process for an architect. We got Michael Willis and Associates, that's the MWA here. They're an excellent firm. At the completion of that process and
you
before...
MWA, what does that mean?
Michael Willis Associates.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Kind of like MWH, and I like
new
to make
designation.
Michael Willis is an excellent building architect. They have been excellent to work with. But right about the time we were getting ready to award that contract, LT2 hit. And so we had all the proposals and so on in and accepted, and we had to kick it out of the budget again. And we began work on the LT2 stuff that you're all so familiar with and makes this chair something of a hot seat at some times. 2010, we got it put back into the budget and proceeded, and working with Christine and Office of Counsel and Michael Willis agreed to leave their proposal be the price that it was, and we awarded the contract at that time and proceeded. When we initiated the project, we were intending on building one building and moving our workforce offsite. And we looked at a big facility down on Rivergate. Naturally, that would have cost money and productivity loss to move. And then whatever we would have had to have done to the building to get all our stuff in it and make it secure. We decided that was too expensive. We had an agreement made with Portland Public Schools. I don't know if you've been in the back of that big building. There's more than just the school board and administration in there. They have a huge warehouse operation there. And we'd actually struck an agreement with them to move our stores operation into their facility. So we were at that time proceeding with putting one building and moving most of our operation into the Portland Public Schools building. For reasons of their own, they backed out of that deal. I think they decided that they needed to use it. They'd made a big textbook buy and had to put items there, and so they did. And so we were kind of stuck. And while all this was going on, we had started the, I'll call it scoping work that an architect does, meet with each of the little entities that have a place in the building and spell out what their needs are and beginning putting meat to that. at that time thinking we were going to put this in one building. Well, that didn't work out. So then we said, it's going to cost us a lot of money to move off-site. It doesn't look like we can find a place. We finally got permission to proceed with getting rid of this old facility. There are things that bother me a lot, and the seismic incapacity of this building bothers me a lot. Not only do our workers work there, but a lot of our key supplies and so on to respond to an emergency are kept under lock and key inside that building because they're highly pilferable. Even though they're big, they are pilferable. So we decided at that time that we would phase the construction. What began as a 24-month job is now a 54-month job because we have focused on designing the phase one building. That phase one building is basically the big warehouse portion of the building. That's going to include the warehouse, some site improvements. It includes the Westinghouse remediation, relocation of the fueling station, which is designed right now, and more on that in a minute. Demolition of what we call the foundry property, a fairly famous piece of property, and demolition of the carpenter shop and what we call euphemistically the green shed, because surprisingly it's a big green shed in the back of the yard. That's phase one. Phase two is not completed with design yet. We've had some interesting occurrences on this site. Besides the remediation things, which we have to work through on DEQ, we found geotechnical issues. That's fairly typical over there. That site was a landfill. This is true all along the river over on that side, that many of the ravines were filled, and they were filled in 1920. That was before the advent of my real profession, which is a soils engineer. It hadn't been invented yet. And the way people filled then was chainsaws, bulldozers, bulldoze everything in, cover it up with whatever's handy, and build on top of it. So in that area, sometimes the only thing you really know is what is in the borehole. And if you didn't stick the borehole in the right place, you get a surprise. So we found that the foundation conditions weren't exactly what we thought we needed, and we have had to do some significant rework of the foundation for the what is going to be the big warehouse building. It's got a very heavy-duty foundation underneath it. Also along the way, in the summer of 2011, we brought Hoffman on board as the CMGC contractor. Again, we feel we were really lucky there. We've got two premier local contractors on board to build our facility, and they're all highly respected, and they're great to work with. Construction was programmed to begin on the 1st of July. So that means on the 1st of July, we would have moved to the construction phase of the CMGC. The way CMGCs work is that it's the way that the city has chosen to put together CMGC packages. You're bringing a contractor on board, your constructor, but he's not doing construction. So the way you pay for those services is it's kind of a PTE contract, and you have to lengthen or shorten that as time goes on. And they have been caught in the stretching out of the project also. We're now going to have a 54-month project, and we had the time period, if you can imagine. Normally you would have probably, if we were going to really build, let the construction contract and plan to be at work in July, we probably would have completed what we needed to do in May. And since that time, as you know, we've been working on the CBA and so on. So that's required an adjustment in the Hoffman contract. And that's what 10-18 is to pay for the several months of pre-construction services that are part of the CMGC and not paid for as the construction contract.
Go ahead and finish, yeah. And I'll ask my question.
The change order situation on Michael Willis. Give me a second to find the piece of paper I need. Where'd it go?
Just a minute. It's not that. Is that it? Okay. The change order situation on the Michael Willis contract, and I can understand you asking about it. There's seven already, and this is the eighth. The purpose of the Eighth Amendment, I'll talk about that one first because that's the one that's on the table at the moment. The Eighth Amendment is to stretch the design services over the remaining months of the contract. And also to do what is called construction management services. You have that portion of the change order, the construction management services, is a pay-as-you-go. You're very familiar with construction, and on these big projects, you get lots of RFIs from the contractor that need to be answered by the designer. And so it's that part of it is pay as pay
RFI
as you go.
Means
request for information. Yeah.
The contractor asks of us.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to respond to those, and so that's pay as you go kind of a thing. The previous seven amendments, three of those amendments are administrative. They're zero time and zero money. They're moving dollars around, essentially. The other two major changes were design of a fueling station. Normally, Fleet does the design of the fueling station. We wanted to move our fueling station, and we made an agreement with them that we would do the design and be reimbursed later. So one change is designing the fueling station. The second major one is a value engineering study. We have been very diligent about keeping this project in its dollar box. We said we would build it for $35 million, and when we got done with all the scoping and what people think we needed, we were about at 42, someplace between 40 and 42 million. This building is actually occupied by my group, the construction management group, and the operations group, and the three group directors have been, I'll call us project principals on this thing, and we've been watching the money, and we told the staff that this is going to be done for $35 million. So we did a VE study and chewed $5 to $7 million out of what had been scoped so that we would keep the project within budget. So that's the other major change there. So I think that explains what the changes were on 1017 and what the need is for 1018, which is paying Hoffman for the pre-construction type of services that the CMGC contractor provides. I can't tell you how much we're looking forward to starting work on this project. It's a really necessary project for us. I think we've gotten a very good value from the contractors that we selected. In some measure, who you get is part luck and part selection process. They've got to apply, and we got two of the best contractors in the city, both in terms of Michael Willis and Hoffman. And Hoffman also agreed to the CBA, and we've worked very carefully with them, and they've actually done it before, which was, I think, most helpful to all of us in figuring out how to weave our way through it. So that's kind of the end of my formal statement. If you have questions, I hope I've answered what you would ask.
Yeah, I just have that was very helpful. I appreciate it. Maybe two questions. And maybe this is one that I somehow missed along the line, but I thought when we do construction management, general contractor selections, that pre-construction services are somehow wrapped into the total package of a contract award. But Christine, maybe you can talk to me later after this. And
I can just explain it to you really quickly here. Okay. Is part of the construction manager general contractor is when we go out and we bid that out, you're not all the way done with this design. So the
right.
advantage of bringing that general contractor on board is that they finish up design with the owner, which is us, with the city, the designer, who is Michael Willis in this case, and then Hoffman. And so what we do is after we've selected them, they have a small pre-construction services contract, which is a professional services contract, for them to help do some of the value engineering that Mike had just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so
So that's a contract separate from the whole
yes. later. And it's very typical of the CMGC.
Contract amount
yes.
itself for
it's
the construction.
It's part of the way that we've chosen to do the CMGC process, and there is one of these things in every CMGC contract.
Okay.
And that's just how we get it done.
So my last question, I guess it just gets to what, when we enter a contract that's not to exceed, which was what the pre-construction contract with Hoffman was I'm reading here, not to exceed $145,000. So isn't that like binding on the contractor, not to exceed that?
It's maybe I should let Christine take a shot, and then I might take one.
So
when is a not to exceed a not to really
the not to exceed was the was it 145?
Yeah,
yeah.
For the scope of work at that time.
When the scope changes.
As the scope changed, as Mike said, we had some delays, and then there were some other things that happened. And so the contractor, Hoffman, needed some additional compensation for that. So that was on behalf of the city that we asked for additional work.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Does anyone wish to testify on 1025, 1017, or 1018? All right, I'll entertain a motion to accept 1025.
So move.
So moved and seconded to accept the procurement report, item 1025. Sue, can you please call the vote?
Saltzman.
Well, it's time to get moving on this project. The interstate facility rebuilt, so it's good to be off awarding this contract, and particularly want to thank the Water Bureau and Commissioner Leonard and Hoffman Construction for working so hard to make sure our community benefits agreement will be successful, as I'm confident it will be. Aye.
Leonard.
Thanks, guys. Aye.
Fritz.
I very much appreciate the historical perspective and your explanations just given regarding the not to exceed. That's very helpful. I'm happy that we will be improving the safety for workers at the Water Bureau and their staff and their equipment. And this is a great project to pilot the community benefits agreement. Thank you all for your work on it. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
So when I was out there to participate in a news conference with Senator Merkley and did another quick tour of the facility, it was shocking but not surprising. In one of the offices, a leaking roof and a recent dead rodent falling from the ceiling, a visible and dramatic example of how we've let this go on too long, and I appreciate the work. Appreciate your leadership, Commissioner Leonard. Aye. Can you please read the title and
stage, probably.
Yeah, probably a stage rat.
Get up from the dead rodent.
Can you again read the title for 1017?
Amend contract with Michael Willis Architects to increase compensation and scope of work for interstate maintenance facility rehabilitation design services.
Any additional discussion from council? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter? Sue, would you please call the vote?
And that's a second reading.
This moves to a second reading. Further council consideration. Can you please read the title for 1018?
Amend contract with Hoffman Construction Company to increase compensation and scope of work for interstate maintenance facility renovation construction manager pre-construction services.
Any council discussion on this? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Moves to additional consideration next week. We are, right? Anything else?
That's all.
We're adjourned for the week.